All right, the next matter on calendar this morning is docket number 53191, Rio All Suite Hotel versus Phillips. Are we ready?
Jay McElmore Gordy on behalf of Rio All Suites. This case involves the line between workers' compensation and ordinary health coverage. You have asked us to consider the appropriate standard to be applied to the rising out of test in workers' compensation.
Counsel, I must interrupt. I'm having a hard time hearing you. If you would speak up.
I'm sorry. You have suggested that we discuss the increased risk doctrine, the actual risk doctrine, or the continuation of the Gorski rule. I would suggest that the proper approach would be the one suggested by Larson's, Professor Larson. There are three main, he divides all injuries into three categories. There's the risk of employment category, which consists of, and personal risks and neutral risks. The risks of employment would be a bricklayer who's working on a job and is hit in the head by a brick. The personal risk would be a bricklayer working on a job hit by a brick thrown by his ex-wife or something like that. It would be distinctly personal to him. The neutral risk would be the gray area in between. Larson goes on to suggest that that there are three types of ways of handling this. One would be increased risk doctrine, one would be the actual risk doctrine, and one would be the positional risk doctrine. This court considered the positional risk doctrine in Mitchell and rejected it because it did not relate to the workplace. It is a but-for doctrine. It says but for being on the job, there would have been no injury, without regardless of the connection to the workplace itself. The actual risk doctrine is pretty similar to the positional risk doctrine in that it will award compensation for risk that exists on the job, regardless of whether or not that risk exists off of the job. The increased risk doctrine is the doctrine that is the majority approach in all jurisdictions, most jurisdictions. It involves risks in the employment greater than those that exist off the job. How to fit Gorski into this is I would suggest the following. The original analysis done, or the first analysis done by Larson, is whether it's a personal risk, an employment risk, or a neutral risk. Gorski, I think, represents a distinctly personal risk, and once that's been determined, that's it. The analysis is over with. It's such as the person who is on the job and hit in the head with a brick. The employment risk is definite, and there's no reason to go any further. So when we get into the gray area, though, is when we have to apply one of these three standards. I believe in the past we have, even in the Gorski, there's language in Gorski case and also in Mitchell suggesting that increased risk was the standard being used, and that is the risk associated with a risk in the workplace that is greater than which would be exposed a person would be exposed to off the job. Gorski, it was walking on level ground, a risk that it appears equally on the job and off the job. In Mitchell, it was the same thing, walking on level ground and falling forward into the stairs. I would suggest that those are personal risks that do not have any particular relationship to the job, and that the increased risk doctrine is the appropriate doctrine to be applied. As related to this case, Ms. Phillips was an employee, I believe, for 17 years. She had been up and down those stairs at least 25,000 times while working for us and never had an incident before. She described on the record nothing in the environment that day that was any different than any other time that she was walking down the stairs. They were just stairs like any other stairs. And that day, for some reason, she got to the third to the last stair and her ankle turned and broke. There's no other contribution from the job. Yeah.
Counsel, was Ms. Phillips required to use the stairway to get from the casino to the break room?
There's no evidence that she was required to do it. She had to get to the break room. How she did that was her own choice.
So there's no casino policy saying dealers use the stairway, go use this particular exit to get to the break room?
Not that I recall from this record.
Counsel, if the court were to revisit this area and adopt the increased risk test, are there any findings in the record that apply that test as articulated in Kmart versus Herring, for example, in which there's an assessment about the risk to the employee versus the risk to the general public?
That was the finding in the Kmart cases. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. And in this particular case, the appeals officer that made no finding, no such finding, nor did she find anything, although she was asked to do so, anything in the workplace that contributed to the fall, to the injury itself. And that would be the increased work doctrine also. There are two other elements I'd like to raise here, and one is that you're considering a test that does not require that there be a workplace cause or a workplace component to the causation of the injury. It's hard for employers to understand being required to pay for something that really wasn't industrial in origin. And as a matter of policy, I believe a finding should be made by the appeals office that there was a workplace connection. And if a doctrine is adopted that does not require the workplace finding, I think employers would be disturbed by that. And I think as a matter of policy, there should be some relationship in a causation factor. And the second element is the problem is coming up just recently. We are coming up on universal health coverage. We've never had that before. In workers' compensation, one of the issues that are raised is that without workers' compensation, this person would not have any coverage at all. That's not the case here, but in other cases, that can be a driving force. I would suggest that with universal health coverage, there'd be a higher need for a brighter line between workers' compensation and ordinary health coverage. If you think about it, under universal health coverage, the only way an insurer can avoid its liability is to dump it on workers' compensation. They can't get rid of patients, they can't get rid of members and what have you, so that there might be other reasons to maybe redefine or clearly define the standard to be applied. But in this particular case, we believe that the appeals officer erred as a matter of law by not entering a finding of a workplace connection between the cause of the job, cause of the injury, and the injury itself. The evidence itself does not display any type of relationship, and it appears to be that when she went down the stairs, her ankle broke. And this is a stair that she'd been down 25,000 times before. I'd like to reserve about 5 minutes.
Okay.
May it please the court, Gary Watson for the respondent. This court has already applied both doctrines that are at issue in workers' compensation opinions. The first one, actual risk, and we cited the case in our brief. It's the Bob Allen Masonry case, a 2008 opinion by this court. And in that situation, the court found an exception to the coming and going rule denying liability, except unless there's an exception. They found a new exception, the street risk rule. And then when you review that opinion, the body of that opinion, you applied actual risk. So there's no new groundbreaking precedent to do it in this case. The second arising out of test from Professor Gilbert's, Professor Gilbert's, Professor Larson is the increased risk test, and you've also applied that. This wasn't in our brief because I didn't realize that the court was going to inquire into the various tests as you did with your order shortly before coming here today. But I would cite the court to Wood versus Safe, That's a 121 Nevada 724, a 2005 opinion. In that opinion, a female supermarket employee was raped multiple times by a janitor employed by an independent company. And when you review that opinion, you will see that you found that the employer Safeway had was immune from civil liability. Her benefits were limited to Chapter 616 workers' comp as to her employer because it was found to be in course and scope, and you applied the increased risk rule. Why should you, I'm sorry, and the third thing you asked us about is the Gorski test. Well, the Gorski test says as follows. It says, does the origin of injury relate to a risk involved within the scope of employment? That's all Gorski says. And what was Gorski? Gorski was a personal risk case. Mike mentioned the three types, general types of risks in Professor Larson's treatise, one being personal risk. Personal risk is it has to do personally to the injured worker and has nothing to do with any characteristics of the job, examples being sudden heart attack, a stroke, and in Gorski's case, his leg gave out and he fell because he had multiple sclerosis, and all the doctors said the fall was 100% due to a personal reason. So Gorski is a personal risk case. The big cases since I think its issuance in, what was it, 05, has been, I'm sorry, I'm nervous. Mitchell, okay. In Mitchell, as the court is aware, the school teacher fell for inexplicable reasons on a flat surface. Nobody could explain how or why. She couldn't, co-workers couldn't, and the appeals officer was awarded benefits, and the higher court reversed. Well, what Mitchell is a neutral risk case. Professor Larson defines a neutral risk as having no characteristics or links to the job or personal, and therefore benefits didn't lie. This is not a neutral risk case. This worker was required to take her mandatory breaks in the dealer's break room. The only way that I'm aware of that she could get there, there's no evidence otherwise that there was some another set of stairs or an elevator or anything else, was the two-tiered set of metal stairs, which are pictured in about three places in our record on appeal. And Mike is right, she did that six times a day approximately for 16 years before she came down wrong on her left foot, twisted it so violently that she broke it and fractured it, and then required surgery 3 or 4 days later. But there's case law, which we've cited the court to, including the best case out of the state of Iowa, the Lakeshore Casino case, which says that the use of stairs and ladders is inherently dangerous. It's an inherently dangerous work duty. And if the court agrees that that makes sense and applies the rule of inherent dangerousness of use of stairs and ladders, then that takes us to the actual risk and not just increased risk rule. The actual risk rule says, did the job duties expose the worker to an actual risk of employment despite the fact that off the job and other places the general public uses stairs? Did it here? Yes. Yes. She had to use the stairs to take her mandatory breaks, to go down to the break room, and just because she did it for 16 years multiple times a week and had an accident on the day and time in question doesn't mean that it's not inherently dangerous to use those stairs. And the law of probabilities, when you are performing an activity that in and of itself is hazardous to perform, like...
But counsel, well, the problem with the Lakeside case out of Iowa is that Iowa has a different statutory approach to the interpretation of our workmen's compensation laws. In Iowa, they're liberally construed in favor of the work person. In Nevada, they are to be neutrally construed, which would suggest that that preference in Lakeside shouldn't be afforded.
Iowa has rejected positional risk, just like this court did in Mitchell. I would cite the court to Professor Larson. Let me find it. Section 3.0 states that have applied the actual risk test, and there is at least six of them. And contrary to the representation that the vast majority of states apply the increased risk test, Section 3.03, the section prior, 3.03, is increased risk test. There are six states. So from reading Professor Larson, you got six that apply actual risk, and you got six that apply increased risk. So I believe that this court should take a hard look at the reasoning of finding the use of stairs and ladders is an inherently dangerous activity, and when this worker is required to do it, and the law of averages catch up, and she hurts herself on that day like she did, it should be considered to be arising out of. Backup argument. If instead you go with the increased risk test, which, as I mentioned, you applied in the Safeway case, it covers her here, too, because the facts of this case are not the facts of Mitchell, where the school teacher fell on a level surface in a public building where it's reasonable to assume that members of the public have walked in that same area for whatever reasons when they're transacting public business. This is a private company and a private break room
score,
and
counsel,
a private set of stairs, Your Honor.
Can I ask you a question on that score?
Sure.
If I read the decision here by the hearing officer, I believe it's Ms. Schwartzer, there are no findings in that that would address the increased risk test or the difference between the public's access to this stairway versus the employee's access or the employee's use versus the public's use.
That's true. But if Your Honor wants to send it back down, however, do that. I'm sure that's going to be what's going to happen in another series of, you know, weeks and months is going to go by. This case is almost 4 years old, and my client has a significant unpaid medical bill. She'd required emergency ankle surgery. This court can look at it and say, okay, these facts support arising out of, under the statute, applying either increased risk or actual risk. I don't think you have to send it back down to the appeals officer and say, here's the proper standard, and what do you think? You can make that decision. She made the decision, the legal decision that arises out of. I'm not sure that she had to also make the decision, okay, I'm going to try and figure out which test applies here. And I think that if you take a look at the language of the Gorski test, I'll use the word test, it's applicable here. Okay, this case was compensable under Gorski as the court defined what has to happen. As I mentioned, is the origin of the injury related to a risk involved within the scope of employment? Using the employer's stairs to take your mandatory breaks, yes, it was. The risk of employment is use of stairs and ladders by at least six courts in our country has found to be an inherently dangerous activity, and we're talking private stairs and not public stairs that are available to the general public. So even if you apply the increased risk standard.
Where did you get that it's their private stairs not available to the general public? My impression was there's nothing in the record that indicates
there's nothing
that.
In the record, Your Honor, but it's the employee's break room. Have nothing to do with anything available to the public. I mean,
so are they required to take this set of stairs to get to the break room?
Yes.
And where is that in the record?
If you're asking, what she asked is there an elevator? That wasn't asked. I'll say that much. But there's no evidence there's any other means of ingress or egress than these metal stairs. That was before the appeals officer. Thank you.
You've still got about 5 minutes if you wanted to finish
questions.
That up. Or colleagues, any questions? Okay.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be short. Justice Hardesty, I'm sorry. You said the Kmart case. I was thinking the Safeway case earlier. Taking counsel's argument to its logical conclusion, the Gorski rule would only be limited to level walking on level ground, which doesn't make any sense. Under the increased risk doctrine, you still would have to show something in the workplace contributed to it, and that whatever that was in the workplace that contributed to it was at a quantitatively or a greater degree than exists in ordinary exposure to the public.
As part of that analysis, would it be relevant then to inquire whether or not this staircase was the only means of egress and ingress to the break room. That factor into
inquiry
the analysis?
Inquiry should have been made to that effect if it was a factor, but no inquiry was made of that to that effect. It's a metal stair, it's fire escape type stair because it, you know, for fires and what have you. For all I know, it was open to the public access also. I think the important part is this is a set of stairs she went down 25,000 times before, and nothing happened. So what is the difference this time? Is what in the job contributed to it that wasn't present 25,000 times before? There is no element to the job, to the causation that comes from the job place, other than she was going downstairs. Now, if you make the finding that the stairs were inherently dangerous, as suggested in Mitchell but not found in Mitchell, nor found in any other state outside of Virginia, I believe, you know, that's going some. I mean, the appeals officer could have made that finding, but there was no evidence to that effect. Not even the claimant said that there was something wrong with those stairs. Matter of fact, she was very candid. There were gumball machines and everything in the area, but the stairs were clean as far as she could tell. The security people who came and examined it found nothing unusual. And it's all consistent that there was nothing different that day about those stairs than the 17 years or 16 years she worked there before. And so I would conclude by saying that if this court is considering adopting a standard such as the increased risk standard, I would ask that you also go into the analysis of the employment risk, the personal risk, and the neutral risk, and show that can be determinative before you get into these other areas, because it got very confusing in the Mitchell case as to how we do this, because neutral was mentioned and not mentioned, and Gorski was mentioned and not mentioned, and what have you. So the analysis, if it could be straightforward, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, would be very helpful to all of us in the profession. Thank you very much. Any questions?
Any other questions? All right, counsel, thank you. This